Live. Live. Hip, two, three, four. Hip, two, three, four. Lift. Lift. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, two, three, four, hip.
All right, you soldiers in Yahweh's army, this is your wake-up call. I'm Pastor Steve. This is wake-up call for the 10th of August, 2017. Now, this is going to be a controversial show because over the years I have observed the reactions of people when people close to them die. And churchianity has fostered warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely theology, doctrine about death, which is totally false. Totally false. Now, I don't mean to be mean. Okay, I'm not trying to be hateful. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But we as Israelites need to face hard facts. So, the title of today's sermon is Facing Death as an Israelite. From the perspective of the Bible. All right. Judeo-Christianity has been telling people all this stuff. Oh, you die and you go to heaven. Well, no. They've been telling people, well, mama's looking down on you from on high. Well, no. Bible doesn't say anything like that. What the Bible says in reality, and this won't set well with some of the Judeo-Christians, when you die, your soul leaves your body. There's no more life in that corpse. It will eventually return to the elements from which it was made. You don't have any conscious thought. You're not aware of what's going on. You're not in that body. You're not going to feel that body decompose. You're not trapped in it with worms eating it, and you're not. It doesn't feel anything. The nervous system is shut down. The heart's shut down. All the organs are shut down. The cells start to break down pretty rapidly within a certain amount of time. Pretty quickly. It goes through rigor mortis, and then that stops, and it's put wherever it's put. It's either cremated, or it's embalmed and buried, or it's put in a coffin and put in an above-ground tomb, a memorial, and then sealed in. But there's no more you in that body. Now, all of us, even myself, have a certain fear of death because it's a place we haven't gone before. I haven't left this temple that I'm currently residing in. Okay? I'm still in it. I was holding my own mother when she died. She was a Christian woman, and I was calling on the name of Yahweh to be merciful, and she went real quick. She was not conscious when she went. She was unconscious, and boom, the spirit left the body. That temple is no longer occupied, but my mother is not dead. She is resting. She is sleeping in the dust, as they say in scriptures. That's the term that's used. They shall sleep. Even when Yahshua was speaking of it, those that sleep, okay, that's a polite term for have died. They are sleeping, but they're not sleeping in that body. That body is unoccupied. It is returning to the natural elements. But the person, it is intact, okay, in the soul. And only the seed of Adam has the breath of life, the holy breath, Ruach Kadosh, that was breathed into Ha'adam. The others do not have this. When they die, the spirit, the spark of life, let's put it that way, rather than spirit, because a spirit implies consciousness. The spark of life, there's life energy in these temples that we occupy. That goes back into the earth with the body, the life force. But only the Adam has a soul. So when they die, they just die. The other races, when they're gone, they're gone. That's it. They have their time in their mortal coil here on the planet. If they live to be 16 and get hit by a car, or they live to be 106. When it's over, it's over. They are not children of the promise. They have not been promised eternal life. No matter what churchianity says, they can rail against it, they can climb a pole and shout it from the top of a flagpole. Everybody can be saved. Nope, 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 nope. We're all brothers. Nope, nope, nope. We're all God's children. Nope, nope, nope. Sorry. So sorry, Charlie. Wrong. They're not promised eternal life. In the kingdom, if people of their race have been saved, which is different than redeemed, that means they have been saved from immediate destruction because they have not tried to harm Israel. It doesn't make them Israel. They're not grafted in. They're not going to enter the holy city. They will be in subjection to the Israelites, who will be the administrators of the law under the rule of Yeshua Messiah. That's the pecking order. And during that time, our bodies will have been changed if we are still alive, or if we have slept in the dust and decomposed. There will be a reconstituted, glorified, holy body that we will be given. The non-Adamic, non-Israelite people will not be given these. No matter what churchianity says. They don't get eternal life. They will be servants to the Israelites in the kingdom. Saved and redeemed are two different things. Their races will be saved from instant destruction. Others that have rebelled and have tried to harm Israel or are hateful or are evil. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 6 through 10 tell you clearly that they will be destroyed in flaming fire when Yeshua comes back. Okay, that gets that out of the way. Eternal life for us that are in the remnant. No eternal life for those that are judged unworthy, even of Israel, that have rebelled against Yahweh. They will not make it. They will be cast out. No eternal life for the non-Adamics. Boom. Bottom line. That's it. All right. Death. Death itself. It's unavoidable. These temples wear out and break down, and finally there's a system failure, and your hard drive crashes, and you're offline. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. We have to look at this from an adult standpoint. We can't get all weepy and touchy-feely. We're grown-ups, okay? Your body's going to break down and you're going to leave it. And it will be dealt with however it's dealt with. It doesn't matter because you're not there anymore. Israelites will be resurrected. Some to eternal life, some to the second death. The remnant, however, does not need to fear death. Let me go through a bunch of these people. Moshe, okay, the greatest prophet that ever lived, Yahweh's favorite. Yahweh took his life because he did not glorify Yahweh at the rock where the waters of came out. He struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. There were two instances with rocks giving water. One, he was supposed to strike the rock. He did that. Water gushed forth in such force it watered the whole land. There was a big river. There's a riverbed from that split rock over there. They found it. Second time, he was only to speak to the rock in the name of Yahweh, and waters would come forth. But no, he struck the rock in his anger, and he said, "Must we bring forth water for you, you rebels?" Well, it wasn't we. Moshe didn't bring forth anything either time. It was Yahweh that did that. And the second instance got him punished by not being allowed to enter the promised land. He was not allowed to go over the Jordan River. But Yahweh told him, "Go up on this mountain and I will let you look out over that land. I will let you look out over it, and then I'm going to take you." And he climbed the mountain in obedience. And he looked out over the land and saw the promised land. And then Yahweh took him. He took his life because he was not allowed to go over. And this was not a monumental occasion to Moshe because he knew he would be back. He accepted his punishment from Yahweh with dignity and grace. He did not fear death because he knew he was just going to leave that worn out old temple that he had. Well, I'm getting there my own self, okay? So I'm a lot closer to death than a lot of you out there. And I am not one least bit afraid. Oh, my body has a little fear because everything's going to shut down and the body's going to experience what it's going to experience. Yahweh will be merciful, I am sure. But the process of leaving only takes a little while. And it is inevitable because these bodies that we have are equipped with something called planned obsolescence. They're obsolete and they need to be recycled. So this is only a temporary testing ground in the first place that we are blessed with the life that we have here, so we can measure our progress of whether we are going to be in Yahweh's camp or not. That's the purpose of us being on this planet and fighting and defeating in our personal lives the wiles of the adversary. Can he destroy our testimony? Can he break our faith? I talked about Job the other day. All that was a test to see if his faith would be broken. It wasn't. We've just had the passing of one of our brethren, Ernst Zundel. He was never broken after all the horrible things the Antichrist Zionist Jews did to that man. For speaking the truth, he is passed. He is no longer in that body. He is no longer suffering. He can no longer be harmed by those vipers. He was strong to the end, and he died the death of an Israelite. Unbroken. Okay? Moshe was not broken. He accepted that he had made a mistake. His brother Aaron, had died earlier. His sister had died, Miriam. They died. People died all the time. Well, we don't see death all that much on a personal level. They were in much closer contact. They were tribal, and they were traveling in a large group. The group that had resisted going over into the promised land, except for Caleb and Joshua, all of those people died before they went over in the promised land. Well, the people mourned Moshe, getting tongue-tied here, with a great mourning. They were very sad because he was a steady rock in their lives for all those years. I mean, this was Moshe. Nobody was like Moshe, and he led those people. And yes, some of them had rebelled against him, but he was much loved because of all he did for our people. He was loved. And they mourned his loss as a loved one, just like we mourn our father or our mother or our brother when they pass, okay? Pass over. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're passing over into another realm of existence. Now, the non-Israelites fear death because life in what they're occupying right now, and the short time allotted to them is all they have. And for them, when it's over, it's over. But with us, the holy seed of Yahweh, the Israelite people that are faithful, the remnant, when it's over in these temples, it's a temporary interruption. We are no longer at that point bound by time. We don't note the passage of time. It's not like we're conscious in that dead body in the ground, waiting and waiting and waiting, you'd go insane. No, you have no conscious thought. You're asleep, just like when you're sleeping. You don't know what's going on around you. You're out like a light, man, catching some Z's. Well, you're out of that body and you're sleeping. But that's only a temporary interruption in your existence, because our existence is different than their existence. They live a short time and then they stop, and that's over. They're gone. We're not gone. We are going to get reinstalled and rebooted, in computer terms, in a brand new, indestructible, eternal, glorified body that will never break down. It will never have any infirmities. It won't be able to be injured. We will have great power compared to what we have now. Nothing like Yahweh. Pardon me, I've got to clear my lungs here. After all, we're only a little spark of Yahweh. We've got that spirit of life that he breathed into Ha-Adam, and our species is different than the other species. So our very existence is different than the other species. Our soul, which they do not have, is eternal. We can doom our soul by our behavior, bad behavior, in this world to the second death, which will extinguish that soul. That soul will perish. But for those of us that are faithful and call upon the name of Yahweh, we will be saved from destruction. And we will be resurrected. And those of us that belong to Yeshua Messiah are sheep of his pasture. And we will then have eternal life, because with his death, which was voluntary on his part, and then his following resurrection, conquering death, he didn't just conquer it for himself, he conquered it for us too. So we don't have to fear death in these mortal coils that we are occupying, because it's only a temporary situation transferring our spirit, our soul, into a waiting place, whatever that is, we don't know. But then it will be reinstalled in a brand new temple, an eternal one. And we will be with Yahweh and Yahshua for all eternity. Very, very different. So we don't really need to fear death. Because it's not permanent for us. Not permanent. Okay, let's move on. We come to King David, Dawid. Dawid had many attempts on his life by Shaul and his sons and Joab and others. And he fought many battles and fought against Goliath, not Goliath, Goliath, the giant. And he killed him. And he was brave. He went into battle in the name of Yahweh. He was fearless. And Yahweh preserved him and made him king instead of Shaul, who disobeyed. But all his life, he was a brave warrior king. And when he did die, it was of old age in peace. Let's backtrack a bit to Jacob Israel. When he had all those sons, and Yosef, that's Joseph, was betrayed by his brothers and went down to Mitzrayim, that's Egypt. And Yahweh engineered that. He engineered that captivity, which was only a captivity for a little while, because he gave Yosef the knowledge he needed to get the attention of the very young Paro, not Pharaoh, Paro. And he became the second ruler in Mitzrayim for the sheer purpose of saving Israel from the famine that was to come. And he did that. And Yaakov and all the sons and the families came down to Mitzrayim after Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, and he lived in the land of Goshen for all those years. And when it came time for him to pass, called Joseph to his side and the two boys, Ephraim and Manasseh, and he crossed his hands and gave the first blessing to Ephraim, and also a blessing to Manasseh. And then Jacob Israel passed in peace with his family without fear. And he says, bury me in the promised land. Make me a promise. You will take my bones and bury them in the cave in the field of Machpelah. And eventually, when Moshe and the Israelites left, they took those bones and the bones of Yosef. Well, actually, they did bury Israel in Machpelah first. I'm sorry, I've been fighting a new computer and I'm a little bit brain dead right about now. They did bury Jacob in that cave, and they took the bones of Yosef to that cave and buried him later when they all left. But both those men faced death without fear because they knew they had hope in Yahweh. And that's the key. That's what we have that the others do not, is our faith and hope in Yahweh. When Yahweh makes a promise, he never breaks it. And he has given us the promise of resurrection and eternal life through Yeshua Messiah. So why should we fear death? Seriously, what is there to be afraid of? Uh, when you're a little kid, you lose your baby teeth. Are you afraid of your new teeth growing in? The old teeth fall out. Well, our old body's going to fall out, and we're going to grow in to our new bodies when Yahweh gives them to us. New, improved, updated model. Why would we be afraid? The breaking down of our physical bodies is inevitable. Why do you fear that? You know, it just happens. It is. It's the way of all things on this planet that have the life force within them, whether it's a dog or a cat or a horse or a cow, or a bipedal hominid or an Israelite. But the only one out of those living things that should not fear death is an Israelite, because death for us is not the same as death for the other living creatures. It's a temporary setback. If a setback, we have our testing ground, we have made our life here and made our life choices, which is the main reason for us being here, the choices that we make, the decisions on which our future is based. So when you're done, you're done. Nobody can stop Yahweh from taking you. When it is your time and He is going to call you out of this body, that is not changeable. Why worry about something you have absolutely no control over? Why worry about it? It doesn't do you a bit of good. What you must concentrate on while you are in this current flesh temple is being obedient to Yahweh, following His commandments, keeping His feast, loving your kinsman as yourself, and living an upright lifestyle. That's what you really need to worry about. Your personal conduct, whether it is pleasing to Yahweh. Because you can live a perfectly righteous lifestyle and die at 40 because you're done. He has said your time is done. No one knows how many days you are allotted. Says that clearly in Scripture. So when you wake up in the morning, take that day as a blessing and do the best you can. The very best in all the things that you think would please our Father in Heaven, our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. That's what you need to worry about. Not dying. Living is hard. Dying is easy. You just stop. Oh, but I don't want to. You don't have any say about it. Are you worried about where you're going? Well, you're still alive. You can do something about that. If you're sinning, and you know you're sinning, change your ways. Repent, call on the name of Yahweh, and follow His path of life, not the worldly path of life. Then you won't worry about death, will you? Won't mean a thing. It'll just come. Whatever. I'm enjoying this day. I've got my new computer, which Yahweh blessed me with, and now I can do all the other stuff on EFR that I need to do. And one of these days, I'm just not going to wake up, or I'll be walking down the sidewalk and just fall over. And I'm gone from here. I don't worry about it. I take each day as it comes as a blessing, and you should too. Doesn't matter if you're 25 years of age. You don't know what's going to happen. You could be innocently shopping in a supermarket and there's a drive-by shooting and you catch a bullet in the back of your head. And you're 25 and you're gone. You could be 95 and hale and hearty. Ernst Zundel just passed away and he was a lot older than me. And every day was a blessing, and he was faithful and a warrior till the very last minute. And Yahweh took him, and that's it, and he's gone. And may Yahweh bless and keep him. See him on the other side. There's a lot of us at EFR that are very much seniors. Okay. We don't worry about it. We're planning for expanding EFR and working super hard every day to make it happen. Because service to Yahweh is the most important thing in our lives because we are new men. We are not the old men of our youth that were foolish. Service to Yahweh is a privilege, a distinct privilege. And while I'm in this flesh temple, I'm going to take advantage of every single minute and praise Yahweh for all the things that I have got, including this temple that I reside in. I've been a lot of places and done a lot of things and I've really lived and I've made terrible mistakes and I've made good decisions. And the best decision of my life was when I acknowledged that Yeshua was the Redeemer and Yahweh is the Father. And it's all smooth sailing. Whatever happens in the world happens. It doesn't much matter. Yahweh now knows my name. He knows my name because I know his name and I use it. And death holds no terrors for me. Oh, I may experience a little pain. I may not. So, who knows? I'll know when that time comes, but I'm not going to sit here in my apartment cowering in fear. Oh, I might die today. No, I'm alive. I'm alive in Yahweh. And I'm going to go at that day tooth and nail and just have a great day. Even if my arthritis is firing up and bothering me, I'm still going to have a great day. Doesn't mean a hill of beans. Okay, I got some arthritis. I'm still walking around. That's life. Celebrate your life. Don't ponder death. Celebrate that life. Celebrate that life. Well, we go up into modern times and we have young men co-opted by the Talmudist and sent off to foreign lands. But basically to sacrifice himself on the altar of profit for the corporations owned by the seed of the Nakash. And so many of those young men are afraid to die because they don't know the Father. And then there's others that are so depressed about the horrors of what they are seeing and the behaviors and the twisting of life around by the seed of the Nakash that they commit suicide at an alarming rate. Our own young men, our own soldiers, men and women, are taking their own lives. They're not running their race to the fullest. They're not learning what they need to learn because knowledge is suppressed. But we're doing the best we can here at EFR to disperse knowledge so that people can live the life that they are living right now to the fullest of their potential. And when that stops, it stops. You don't worry about it. You praise Yahweh when you wake up in the morning. You got another day. They have the perceptions of the people so skewed by the Judeo-Christian churches and their warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely claptrap that they're teaching people. You hear them say, "Oh, death struck him down too soon." And the mama's looking down from on high routine. They don't even have the process of leaving these temples correct. They instill fear. And so do all the people in the media, in the movies, in the TV, and the magazines. And they show all these dead bodies in these wars. All these people were killed by a bomb. Yes, and they never knew what hit them. Boom! Gone. And if they're non-white, they're permanently gone. They're never coming back. We've got the importation of violence in our country today. It's not like we don't have enough with native-born people. They're bringing violent jihadists over here. And, oh, we're so terrified of the terror. They can be dealt with. Dealt with. It just takes the courage. And only the Israelites seem to have the courage to even say anything, because saying anything against these people makes you a hater, and that's hate speech, and oh, you're an Islamophobe, or you're anti-Semitic, which is, they're not, the Jews aren't Semites anyway, so you're not anti-Semitic, because if you're an Israelite, you're of Shemitic stock. They're not. We're the Shemites, not them. We're anti-Jewish, like David James likes to say, most accurately. We don't need to fear these people, because the more of us that wake up, they're the ones that are afraid. And they're afraid of death, because when they die, that's over. Remember the Sadducees had said there was no resurrection? Well, for the Jews, the Edomites, there is no resurrection. They were right. for a certain class of people, but not for the true, pure-blooded Israelites. They were very, very wrong there. Yeshua, Messiah, who only came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, brought resurrection to us in a process of restoring our eternal life that was lost with Adam. They lost their immortality. They were immortal at first, and they sinned and they lost it. Well, through Yeshua, we are going to be restored to that. Whew. Why fear what you can't control? Oh, there's a giant asteroid coming. Are you going to be able to stop it? Are you going to do anything about it? Well, no. Okay. Do you know where it's going to land on the planet? No. Well, okay. If it comes down and lands on top of you, are you even going to know it? It's going to be so fast? Well, I guess not. Okay, then what are you worried about? It might come down. It may hit us. It could hit us. The odds are. Okay? That's a waste of breath. You could be doing other things. There's an old saying, live till you die. Well, live till you die, Israelite. Don't worry about whether you're going to get taken out by some asteroid. Live till you die. Now, if they have a good predictability where it's going to hit in so-and-so and so-and-so, about 500 miles south of so-and-so, avoid that area. No problem. Get out of there. But don't be worried about it. You should be more worried about when it hits, if there are any survivors in the area, rushing in to try to help them. That is a charitable act. And Yahweh wants you to help, wants you to be kind to people, even non-Israelites, if they are not offensive and not violent and not attacking us. It doesn't do any good to be cruel to them. They were born what they were born as. Don't hate them just because they were born this way. There are some good in every group. You have to use common sense there. Be kind and decent to the ones that are decent, and to the rogues and the scum, eliminate them. That's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. See, by their fruits ye shall know them. If they're going to be good and they're going to be kind, they're not thieves and they're not violent, leave them alone. Leave them alone. It doesn't do any good to just be mean. For the sake of meanness, you'd be better off with your time being nice. If somebody is a piece of garbage, don't go around them. Avoid them. You're in the world. You have to deal with people as they come. You can make conscious, wise decisions while you're here. That's the purpose of this life. How are you going to behave? Do you go around and just beat every dog you see? Take a big club and just beat them because they're not Adamite creatures? No, you don't. If they're a good dog, you pet them and you give them a little doggy treat, and they love you and they wag their tail and they're nice. And if they're a mean, vicious animal that tries to attack you, you put them down. well, are these non-Adamic people any different? If they're nice and they behave themselves and do things, okay. But if they're vicious animals, you put them down. Conscious, wise decision. Unfortunately, in our society, the legal system will not allow you to put them down. That's a problem. But that's one within our society that we have allowed to happen over time. It didn't all happen at once. It's a cumulative process. Well, it took a long time for this to get screwed up, and it's going to take Yeshua's return to fully rectify it. Now, we make some inroads, possibly. We might very well rise up and throw these people off. I'm not looking for it to happen. I'm not going to hold my breath on it. Wouldn't bother me a bit if it did happen. Okay, you're going to string these guys up. Well, okay. They earned it. Have at it. I'm 70 years of age. I'm not going out and doing anything to anybody. No matter what's going on. If they come here to my apartment, now that's a different story. But I'm not going to go look for it. Because I'm too doggone old for that stuff. I'm not a young pup anymore. I can't go out and scrap like I used to. And I could scrap pretty good. But I'm too old for that. You learn and you accumulate wisdom. And if I put myself in that situation, went out and deliberately put my old body at risk, I might cut my time short. And I've got things to do in Yahweh's service that are a heck of a lot more important than my ego trying to be a tough guy at 70 years of age. My body's going to quit on me soon enough, or I'll live long enough to see Yeshua Messiah return, and then I'll be young again. So why worry about death? I'm either going to die or I'm not. But I've got things to do today, and then tomorrow I'll have more things to do, and the next day I'll have things to do. And it's exciting. I'm watching EFR grow. I'm watching the enemy panic. I'm watching them make bad decisions. I'm watching the escalating violence in certain areas. I'm watching prophecies be fulfilled in these end times. Right in the start of the tribulation, I'm going to watch things fall apart because the Bible says it's going to do so. And I believe and live by the scriptures. Because I have hope in my Father Yahweh. And I'm not really afraid of anything. And that amazes some people. Well, what if? Yeah, what if? You know, like I said, I could be 30 years old and choke on a piece of chicken and die. And here I am 70 and just going strong and working for Yahweh. Life is good and He's blessed me. And if He decides to take me, there's nothing I can do to stop it. But if He decides to let me stay here, there's nothing on this planet that can hurt me without His permission. So it's out of my hands and in His hands, and I trust in His hands. And death is also in His hands. And it's not such a calamity as people think it is for an Israelite. Death as an Israelite should hold no terrors for us. From an Israelite perspective, we face death in a different light than the others. And that's the thing we need to keep in our minds as we go through our daily tasks. It's one of those things that it's out of your hands, so why worry about it and waste precious time that could be used profitably in the service of Yahweh? Why fool with it? All right, let's move to a little bit different subject. We've got a solar eclipse, full solar eclipse, gonna pass from the northwest all the way down to the southeast. It's gonna be visible on the 21st of this month. You're not going to want to look at a solar eclipse dead on. Take a piece of cardboard and poke little tiny holes in it. Otherwise, you'll burn your retinas. So don't look at it. Sunglasses won't help you. You're going to have to restrict the amount of light that goes through. Be very, very careful. Don't damage your temples. An update on the scriptures that I have been publishing. Of course, the Torah has been out. I am well into the prophets. I'm starting the book of 2 Samuel as far as the computerizing and printing. I will have that done later this year. I will be finished on my word-for-word shows with the Old Testament this fall, and I will start into the apocryphal books into 2018. They will be a lengthy series, but not nearly the amount of volume of information that was in the Old Testament. Then after that, I will go in 2018. I should complete by the end of 2018 the New Testament as well. So then after 2018, when I'm done with the whole shooting match, it will just be reruns over and over and over, starting with the first, working the way through for all the new listeners. There will be no additional need for that, and I can devote my time to other things. I will be continuing my wake-up call sermon shows, however. That will be pre-recorded for a Thursday. That's my time slot, and a repeat on Saturday. And I will busy myself with other things for EFR and the service of Yahweh. We will see what he presents me with. Well, it's that time, folks. I say Shalom Aleichem to you, and may Yahweh bless and keep you, and on my wake-up call. Yahweh bless.
Lift, lift, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip, 2, 3, 4, lift, lift. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, he's our king.
We love Yahweh, he's our king.
To his glory we now sing.
To his glory.